You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
The following is a special presentation of People with Disabilities Speak Out, an original program from CFCR 90.5 FM in Saskatoon, made for Access Day 2019.
Welcome to today's show called People with Disabilities Speak Out. This show is brought to you by CFCR 90.5 FM. To listen to today's show and future shows, you can also download CFCR's app onto your iPad or iPhone. The app is also available for your Android devices. The show will be aired weekly every Thursday from 7 to 7:30 p.m. My name is Debbie Windsor, and I will be your host. On today's program, we have a person that was born with spina bifida. She is a mother of three children, has five grandchildren, with one on the way. I would now like to welcome to the program Cheryl. Now, I would now like you to explain to our listeners what happened to you last Friday when your chair gave out.
Well, they proceeded to tell me, well, I phoned them that morning, and they proceeded to tell me that they...
Can you tell us who they are?
The Abilities Council.
Okay.
And they proceeded to tell me that my chair could not, or that they were going to be busy for the whole month.
Okay.
And that basically what it sounded like to me, although they didn't say it exactly, was that they had no room to get my chair in for a month.
Okay.
Which would have left me stranded because I don't have another means of getting around. So I would have been stuck at home in bed, not able to go to work, not look after children like I usually do in the morning, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Because I would have been stuck in my bed.
And do you have a...
All day.
Do you have a paid position?
Yes,
somewhere?
I have a paid position.
Okay. And so how old is your chair and what is it?
It's a P22 or 222, whatever you want to call it. And I've had it for 13 years now.
Okay. Was it new when you got it?
I have no clue, but I would venture to say it was probably new to me, which means no.
Okay. And so what happened before the end of the day on Friday?
Well, Friday late afternoon, we finally had to phone them back because he was trying to figure out what he could do about the problem, or whatever day it was, I'm not sure. But anyway, they proceeded to tell me to bring the chair in Friday morning.
Monday morning, you mean?
At 11 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning. So my husband had to take the time off work to take the chair in by 10 o'clock in the morning so that I could get it fixed by a little after 11 so I could get to work.
On Monday, you mean?
On Monday.
Okay.
No, Friday.
Friday.
We took it in on Thursday. They fixed it Friday.
Okay. Okay.
Whatever. Anyway, it ended up that I got to work the next day, but they shouldn't be telling anybody that we're backed up for the next month.
Okay.
Because I'm sorry, but we have lives too.
Okay.
Our life does not consist of sitting in a nursing home doing nothing and twiddling our fingers, nor does it consist of sitting at home doing nothing. I have a family to look after, and I'm sorry, but I don't have time to sit on my butt and do nothing.
Okay.
They might, but I don't.
Okay.
So needless to say, I was very upset. Right. I was livid because they decided to tell me, I'm sorry, but I'm backed up for the next month. I can't get your chair in.
Right.
We're not allowed to have a second chair. And if we do, it's a manual. I've been in an electric chair for over 15 years. I don't have the muscle power to drive a manual anymore.
Right.
So basically, I'm stuck.
Okay.
With no means of transportation whatsoever.
Right.
Which to me is, I'm sorry, but that's life-threatening.
Mm-hmm. So
because if I can't get out of bed or I can't move, then what? And I was livid.
So does the chair still work today?
No. I had it fixed on Friday and go to find out today that I get home and it's not working now. So I'm without a chair until probably tomorrow sometime.
Mm-hmm. So do you have to be to work tomorrow?
I'm supposed to, but it doesn't look like I'm getting there.
So what do you think will happen?
I will probably have to phone in to work tomorrow. And they then will decide whether or not I can come back the next day or whether I'm gone. But technically, they have the right to fire me. Not saying that they would, but they have that right.
Right.
As does any other job. Just because we're in wheelchairs doesn't give us any special privileges at work. We're lucky to have jobs. And we would like to keep the job we've got. But if they keep pulling this crap, we're not going to have jobs.
Why do you think you in particular are lucky when you get a job? Why do you have that view?
Because most of us don't get hired because we're in a wheelchair or because we have some limitation.
Mm-hmm.
Most places in this city are not accessible. They're makeshift accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's an old building, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
The bathrooms are either too small, or you can get in the cubicle, but you can't go to the bathroom because you're right up against the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
The toilets are too low.
Mm-hmm.
Their building standards are from the early 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry, but we don't put people who have disabilities or handicaps in nursing homes anymore and forget about them. We just don't. There's more and more of us out in the public, and there should be.
Mm-hmm.
People have this mean misconception that we shouldn't have lives either. And
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but I don't know. I got married and had children.
Mm-hmm.
And there's quite a few people that I know maybe aren't married, but they do have children.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be no reason why they shouldn't live a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
But society tells us, no, I'm sorry, you don't get a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And why should society tell us we don't get a normal life?
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're full of a world with unknowns. Oh, you didn't think we were going to live this long? That's an unknown. We don't know. Don't know means could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But and then we have these walking people who make our buildings and makeshift them so that they are wheelchair accessible under their standards and under their building laws, assuming that they are.
Mm-hmm.
There is not one architect that I know of that is in a wheelchair or not one city worker that I know of that is in the building committee that is in a wheelchair who gets to go out in public and say, yeah, this works, or no, that doesn't work. They're all walking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or they have a quote-unquote invisible disability.
Mm-hmm.
What's an invisible disability? There's no such thing. And it's gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bloody pity when you go 3 hours from me and they're more accessible than we are and we're a bigger city.
Mm-hmm.
Regina is even more accessible than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And
has that been your experience?
Pardon me? Yeah. Any other city but ours is a lot more, it may not be totally up to par, but it's a hell of a lot more accessible than we are. We just got city transit to make it so that we could get on and off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now they have all buses. So So now they're going to get rid of Access Transit, from what I've been told, because they think that we should all take city transit. What about those older people that can't push themselves anymore or can't get to the bus stop? What are they supposed to do, sit at home? And be more shut in than they already are?
Well, and some people with a very severe physical disability
can't get on a city transit.
Correct. And are they going to be able to, in the middle of winter,
no,
even when it's not the middle of winter,
no,
sit at a bus stop?
I mean, even if you don't hit, okay, even if you hit, okay, if you put our winters in the way they are, okay, which are very unpredictable, okay, I mean, we could be really nice the next day and have 5 feet of snow the next day.
Right.
They will, if they've got 5 feet of snow, the way the wheelchairs work right now, you won't. They won't get to the bus stop.
Well, and
they won't get past the front door.
Is even if you physically could get there,
you wouldn't be able to get there because you wouldn't be able to get to the door.
For health reasons, should they be out?
They should be out at every street every day. As soon as the snow falls, they should be out there cleaning the snow.
Yeah.
But they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And no, we shouldn't be stuck inside. Why should we be stuck inside? You're not.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the public.
Right.
I mean, you can get in your car and go.
Mm-hmm.
Why shouldn't we have the same privilege?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that there's rights for two different people. As long as you're able-bodied, you have these rights. As long as you're not able-bodied, you have these rights. Why are we any different?
Mm-hmm.
Or why should we be?
Right.
To me, that's human rights. And that's infringing on our human rights to be people.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I checked, that wasn't our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute that the rest of the world accepts that, or the rest of the city accepts that, the better off they'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're human. We're people. We have lives. We don't sit in corners and pretend we're not here. I know that the rest of the city would like to pretend we're not here, but they might as well get over that notion, because this is not going to happen. More and more of us are starting to live on our own, in our own homes, buying homes, having full-time jobs. And all the city seems to be doing about it is stopping that. And the more you hinder that, the more we're going to fight back. Not that it's going to do us any good. But basically what it boils down to is they're ignoring us. It's like we're not even there. And even when you get an able-bodied architect to say, yeah, okay, we do this, we do this, we do that, they haven't got a clue. They've never been in a chair. How would they know what's high enough or what's accessible and what's not?
Well, it's a little different, isn't it, for an able-bodied person to sit in a wheelchair?
No, it's not just a little different. It's a lot different.
Yeah.
Bottom line is they need to live in our shoes, and I mean actually live in our shoes, not sit there for an hour or 2 hours throughout the day and think, oh, yeah, okay, now I know what it feels like. You have no clue.
Right.
What the city needs to do is put themselves in our positions for a month. And
well,
do all of that.
I know. But do you not think, with your condition or with any of the conditions that you know of, those conditions don't have muscle strength, they don't have use of limbs and that kind of thing?
There are some people that don't have limbs to do what we do.
Correct.
Or what some of us do. Each disability is different.
Correct. And because
I have met people who can't even lift their index finger.
Right.
So if the doors aren't accessible, how are they going to open them? How are they going to get out?
I know, but it's not enough to put an able-bodied person in a wheelchair.
No, it's not.
That's what I'm getting at, because they can use their limbs. They have full control of their bodies.
Yeah, they
do.
The
people that are in those chairs do not.
Don't. And most of them probably have less. Each person is different, so depending
Correct.
On that person will depend on how much mobility they've got.
Right.
Some of them don't have very little.
Right.
Some of them might only be able to lift their hand.
Correct.
But that doesn't mean that it's that they can open a door.
Right.
It doesn't mean that the doors aren't heavy enough that they can't open them.
Right.
Right. It doesn't mean that they can walk down to the bus depot and grab a bus, or the bus stop and get a bus.
Right.
And does it mean whether or not can they get on the bus? Who knows? We don't know that.
Right.
Because it depends on the disability. You can't glump all of us into one bucket and say, okay, it's accessible for everybody. Because it's not.
Right. Now I'd like to remind you that this program is being brought to you by CFCR 90.5 FM. And now back to today's program.
What might be accessible for one probably isn't for the other.
Right.
The same with city transit. What one person might be able to do, another one might not.
Right.
So to turn around and say, well, okay, you know, if we get city transit working and it's accessible, then we can do away with access transit. What are you going to do with those people that can't get to that bus or
right.
can't get on that bus? The drivers aren't going to help you.
Right. And just just because you can get to the bus stop and maybe get on the bus does not mean, like, when you get
doesn't
off
mean
the bus.
You can strap yourself in.
Well, Cheryl, the one thing I do know is about the bus system is, just because when you get off that bus, where you need to go is not necessarily, like, the city transit is not a door-to-door service.
No, it's not.
So
you get
when
stopped
you
at a bus stop, so that could be a block away from
correct.
Where you want to be, half a block from where you want to be,
right.
and then once you get off that bus, can you get to your destination?
Correct.
Not necessarily.
Right.
Because you don't know what the limitations of that person would be.
Right.
So if it's somebody who's in an electric chair and there's 2 inches of snow on the ground, okay?
Right.
And especially if it's soft snow, no, they're not going anywhere because their chair won't go through it.
Right.
We don't live in the Bahamas where we get no snow. The reality is we get snow and we get lots of it.
Well, and the other thing I thought of is that in some areas of the city, safety becomes a concern. Because people with disabilities that have managed to, with electric things, like electric wheelchairs, scooters,
whatever,
have already become victim of being hit.
Yep. And most of that is
vehicles.
Because our sidewalks aren't done properly.
Right. Or they, you know, like I worry about somebody with in a wheelchair or somebody with a physical disability standing at a bus stop in some mm-hmm. of the areas of the city that are less safe.
It depends which area you're in, but yeah, you're right.
That are less
safe.
What
happens if they get mugged, then what?
Well, exactly.
Then there's no city, there's no access transit to get them. Not that they would get them anyway.
No,
but
that I believe that that's why the door-to-door thing came about in the first place, because that ensured the person with the disability, the physical disability, their safety. They were then safe.
Yes, but at the rate they're going right now, safety is not an issue to them.
No.
To them.
Right.
And their excuse for that is, well, you want equality, so you should be able to take city transit. Yeah, I agree with that, except for, what about those people that can't take it, that
right.
are more disabled than others,
right.
that can't get there? Then what? Are they supposed to stay shut in too?
Right.
That's not fair to them. And they can use, I mean, there's other ways to get accessibility by using common sense.
Right.
If they can't open a front door, then you need to make it so they can.
Right.
And that doesn't mean get one service and do away with the other.
Right.
Yeah, okay. City transit is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you of at least 12 people that won't take city transit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't even have to leave my front door to tell you that.
Right.
I hear about it all the time. They can't take city transit because the bus drivers don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to take the time to strap you in.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you're sitting there taking their snide remarks or dirty looks or, I mean, we're a burden because they make us a burden. It's not that we're a burden. They make us a burden.
Right. It doesn't have to be that way.
Doesn't have to be.
No.
We can be treated equally.
Right.
With common sense.
Right.
And unless these higher up guys start to do that and treat us like everybody else, with exceptions of, I mean, you're not going to take a complete quad and tell them, sorry, you have to use safety transit. They may not be able to. You don't know how quad they are.
Well,
and say, well, okay, you're going to have to take city bus because we're doing away with access transit.
Well, and is it safe for them to do it? That's the other thing, right?
Right. But there isn't... the way I look at it, the way the city wants it, is the city wants it one way or the other or not at all. So they've gone to the extreme of saying, okay, we're accessible, which is what they tell everybody. Yeah, we're a city, we're accessible. Who are you accessible to?
Right.
You might be accessible to somebody who's a para to some degree, but you're not completely accessible.
No. And
to me, accessibility means equality.
Right.
There should be no reason why we can't be treated equally and live in the same city. And why can't we have the same accessibility as Regina? You know, and the funny part about all of that is, I mean, isn't Regina our capital?
Maybe that's why it's better.
Oh, so because all our parliament buildings are there and that's why it's better?
People,
our government is there.
People
so
have
what?
Said that. People have
so
said
they
that
want to make
years.
It look better for them,
right.
But what about the rest of us?
Right.
Because we don't have, our politicians don't live here, we don't count. Everybody should count equally. There should be no reason why Regina's more accessible than we are. When they've are, and it's not a matter of, well, we're not sure how we're going to do that because you already did it in Regina. Why can't you do it here?
Right.
Our city's no different. Our city's maybe bigger. And to my understanding, our city is bigger.
It is.
So it should be a lot easier to do.
Apparently not.
Well, no, and the reason it's not is because, well, they say anyway that they don't have the money. Well, which brings me to stop spending on stupid things and put it where it needs to be. Because it's not. I mean, some days I quiver at the fact when I have to tell somebody I live in Saskatoon and say to them, well, I can't meet you there because it's not accessible.
Right.
Which means I have to alter my life again because the city can't do something. Because we don't have accessibility the way they do in Regina. And in fact, I can take it out of the country and say that we have far less accessibility, not only in Regina, but quite a few of different countries too, have got us beat by miles. And I'm not talking just little cities. I'm talking huge cities.
Right.
And they have the money because they didn't pour their money into something stupid.
Right.
Or they made allowances for that to happen.
Right.
In their budget. We're not. Why not? If you're not able to find the money to put it into making the city accessible, then my next question is, where's the money? Where's the government grants that you get to do this with? Because you can't tell me you don't get government grants. I know you do. And I know where they're coming from. But you don't have any problem driving our taxes to the roof. So in essence, who's actually paying for it? We are, but we still don't have it. And to turn around and say 5 years from now that we're all going to end up in nursing homes, no, that's not going to happen. As time goes on, there's going to be more and more of us out in the world.
They don't have
out in the city.
They don't have
running around, walking around, having families, living a normal life, or trying to.
There's not enough room in the nursing homes they already have.
Well, so. That too. But that's where they'd like to put us.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, there still is people with disabilities in the nursing homes. I will tell you that.
And I don't know about you, but I don't plan on being in a nursing home when I get older either.
Mm-hmm.
I fully intend to stay home, in my own home.
Right.
I don't want to be stuck in some nursing home where they don't have time to look after you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what did we build home care for?
Mm-hmm.
If we can't utilize them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't tell me that they can't get enough home care because they can. It's there
mm-hmm.
for the using.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't use them because, again, we're not accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for people to be told, I guess the biggest thing I have trouble with is to be told that I can't go anywhere for a month or I can't move for a month is a little ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. What would happen if it was, the situation was that you couldn't?
What would happen? One, I'd lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I have 5 grandchildren, 4 of which I have just about every week.
What would happen?
I wouldn't be able to look after them because I'm stuck in a bed.
Mm-hmm.
And no, in my case, they're not old enough to look after me.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the defeating the purpose of having them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that more and more of us are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do that if we don't have the means to do it with.
Right.
And that's making sure that we have chairs and walkers or whatever it is we need.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, all the time, not just whenever fits you.
Well, I'd like to thank you ever so much for joining us today. And maybe sometime I'll have another conversation with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Today's show was brought to you by CFCR 90.5 FM. Remember, you can use the app to listen again by downloading it onto your mobile device. I would like to thank Contrast Recording for recording the show today and Michael Patterson for composing the theme music. If you would like to be on the show, have a question about the show, or a suggestion for a topic, you can let me know by emailing me at peoplewithdisabilitiespeakout@yahoo.com.
This is a special presentation of People with Disabilities Speak Out, an original program from CFCR 90.5 FM in Saskatoon, made for Access Day 2019.
I would like to introduce my guest to today's program. She is a director of building standards with the City of Saskatoon. She deals with building standard issues, building and plumbing permits, and administers inspection programs to ensure individuals have safe and healthy places to live and work. She deals with standards related to accessible building design and their integration into the building permit program. She is a professional engineer and holds a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from the University of Saskatchewan. I would like to now welcome Kara Fignol to the program. Welcome.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for having me here today.
You're quite welcome. Now, maybe you can explain a little bit about building codes so that people can get maybe a little better understanding about how that all works.
Okay. It's a great question. So in Canada, we have the National Building Code of Canada. It's a model code and is designed by a bunch of experts that work on committees to produce the best possible code for minimum standards that relate to fire safety, occupant safety, as well as there are accessible guidelines in the building code as well. From there, the NBC, or National Building Code, I apologize, I often refer to the National Building Code as the NBC, and it's adopted by the province of Saskatchewan for use in our province. And once it's adopted by the province, now it can be legislated for use in Saskatchewan. From there, you kind of trickle down effect when it comes to the code adoption. In Saskatoon, we've enacted a building bylaw through the province legislation that basically says we agree with the city of Saskatoon to use the minimum guidelines that are in the National Building Code for all buildings constructed in the city of Saskatoon. When it comes to barrier-free accessibility, the standards were first introduced into the building code in 1985 in that building code, and then the province of Saskatchewan first adopted them for use in Saskatchewan in 1988. So what that means is any building that was built after 1988 in Saskatoon will meet the minimum guidelines when it comes to barrier-free accessibility. One thing to note about barrier-free accessibility in the guidelines is that it outlines where they're required and does a bit of the functional design for those barrier-free requirements. So we're talking about entrances, how many, how do I get into the building, the safety requirements related to ease of travel within the building. And those are things like having proper height handrails, your ramps being the right grade, so that it's not too steep and not too shallow for accessible use throughout the building. One thing, though, it's really important to note is that the National Building Code is not intended to be used to enforce retroactive requirements. And why this is important when it comes...
What does that mean?
What does that mean? And why it's important for accessibility is that building owners are required to, when you build new, you meet the new code of the day. So whatever code has been adopted by the province, the day the building is built, that's what you have to meet for construction requirements. It's not intended to, if you have an older building, that when a new code comes into place, that you, every building owner in Saskatoon says that there's new code, and hey, I got to go out and now upgrade all my building to meet the new code. So they do upgrades to meet current code, depending on a number of different items when they're doing those renovations. So it's not intended to take a non-conforming building built in the 80s and then make it jump into 2017 when a new code has come out. Because those building changes in the code can be quite drastic, and they've changed quite a bit over the years. So we have different mechanisms in place to work with owners to help them understand when they would need to upgrade and when their building as is would be acceptable. One thing to think about when it comes to the accessibility requirements, the province realized when they adopted the accessibility requirements that it was a new code item coming into play, that they needed to have a supportive path to make sure that those older buildings built in the 50s and 60s wouldn't remain inaccessible forever. So at the time, what they did is they introduced requirements right into legislation that outlined specifically when an existing building would be required to upgrade the accessible requirements. The way those ones work is, in general, a non-accessible building, including a heritage building, they're required to be made accessible at the time of building permit application if there's a major change in building use. So a major change in building use is when you convert a restaurant gets converted to an office. They're two different types of occupancies, and they have quite a few differences in the code for those requirements. So a major change of use would be a warehouse to a restaurant, an apartment building. If they wanted to convert portions of it into a restaurant, those new portions would need to meet all the new requirements of the building code, including the accessibility requirements. The other one is also if there was an addition made to the building, would be as if that addition and resulted in a total footprint area greater than 600 square meters, at that time you would need to upgrade the building to meet those accessible
requirements. What's with the 600 square meters?
That was just a number that was picked. I don't really have a good understanding why 600 square meters was picked. It was a size determination that was picked at the province at that time as kind of a threshold as to when it would be cost effective maybe for building owners to upgrade, or when it was a reasonable size to expect those upgrades to be done.
And you keep referring to minimum standard.
Minimum. And the National Building Code is a set of minimum standards. So that's what we regulate too. So through the City of Saskatoon Building Bylaw, our goal is to ensure that the minimum requirements are being met. Owners are fully within their right to exceed the building code in any way they want to. And many of them often do exceed the building code. Okay. But our role is to ensure that the minimum is provided, to ensure that there's a standard of construction that's acceptable within the city.
Okay. And do you see a way that the city could make things more accessible for people in this city?
Okay. So what we have going on with the building code aspect of it, there is opportunities through the building bylaw for the city council to choose to enact bylaws and additional regulations to increase accessibility requirements in the building code. So those options are there as well if city council wanted to undertake those provisions. When we comes to what other opportunities, where the city has really been focusing on is one of my colleagues, I reached out to her before I came, and she's been working with a group of people within the city of Saskatoon, and there's an accessibility action plan in place. So it was first introduced within the city of Saskatoon in 2008, and that accessibility action plan outlined broad base accessibility, not just building design, which is the area that I oversee within the city, but it also outlined things like curb cuts, traffic signals. We talk about just wayfinding in general within our civic buildings. We talked about a bunch of those things, our actual access transit and those initiatives. So basically it covers the entire accessible lens within our city of Saskatoon. And that's been in place since 2008. We've made significant progress in there compared to when the plan was started. And the next steps within there is that they do have a plan in place to do a refresh. We're going to review the accessibility plan and then do a refresh to see where we're at and where do we want to go to set the action plan for the next 5 to 10 years. So this work is going to be undertaken ideally in 2019, and it's going to be involving engagement with the Accessibility Advisory Committee, people living with a disability, agencies and organizations that have a mandate to provide programs and services for people with a disability, the builder and development community, and an opportunity for broad-based input and feedback from all residents. So once all that engagement is done, the information will come back and a list of recommendations for what those next steps will be brought forward for council to kind of set that action plan for the next 5 to 10 years. So there's lots of opportunities for the community to get involved and help set that direction for where accessibility should go in the future.
Okay. Do you think these changes in this plan, mysterious plan, are going to make it so that people can not just get through the door, but can also work in the building as employees?
As employees.
Correct.
So the majority of our buildings in the city of Saskatoon, those ones that are built after 1988, they are accessible to employees and available to all employees to get in the building and complete work. So there's lots of accessible opportunities for that based on minimum code. And I think I know where you're going to go with this one, because there is some other aspects that we didn't talk about code with the functional requirement is that the code is a minimum. And when it comes to accessibility within the building, not all floor levels are required to be accessible. It's the way that the building code is. So there's opportunity there to make advocation with the province to create some more accessible designs within mm-hmm. the community as a whole there as well.
Okay. And can you explain a little bit about the Heritage Bylaw and the Heritage Act and what that has meant,
mm-hmm.
like in terms of accessibility here in the city?
Okay. I'm not the heritage expert for the city of Saskatoon, okay. as we discussed beforehand. Yeah. But my understanding is that we do have a heritage bylaw within the city of Saskatoon, and that bylaw is there to protect our heritage buildings and to have the ability to designate buildings in Saskatoon to be heritage, to protect protect the construction and whatnot. It's important to note that when it comes to heritage, the entire building may not be protected. It may just be components of the building. For example, the exterior facade. Sometimes it might be a finish. Sometimes it actually, in some cases, it might be the art on the outside of the building that we see in some of the buildings downtown. That might be the heritage component that is protected. We have a few buildings that I'm aware of where it is the copper ceiling in the inside that needs to be protected at all costs. So the building owner is responsible for ensuring their renovations do not affect the those facade components that are protected. When it comes to accessibility, heritage buildings aren't exempt from meeting those accessibility requirements. So while they weren't accessible in the day and the city may not be requiring them to upgrade, should that that heritage building make a change in use to that building or make an addition to it, they would then be subject to the same accessible upgrades that every other building in the city is required to do so. The other option available is we work closely with the Saskatchewan Human Rights, and that in that case, that legislation actually does trump the building code. So when it comes to not meeting the building code or a building that may be exempt because the accessibility wasn't required by the code of the day, mm-hmm. a complaint can be raised with the Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission, investigated, and depending on those results, the accessibility requirements may be enforced. And in that case, we would work with the building owner to get the permits in place to make those changes. A good example of an older building where there's lots of different opportunities to make barrier-free accessible entrances to building in ways that are very very supportive of the original look and feel of the building. A good one is the Canada building downtown. It's got exterior steps leading into it, but what they've also done to meet the accessibility requirements is they've actually put a lift at the sidewalk elevator, which is just simply a door that opens and a person in a wheelchair stroller can use the lift and have access to the building. But from the outside, it actually looks no different than any other building on the street, and they've managed to maintain the entire look and feel of that heritage building.
Mm. Now I'd like to remind you that this program is being brought to you by CFCR 90.5 FM. And now back to today's program. Yeah, I know of a place that I worked at one point, and they moved in, I believe it was the Canada building. The Canada building has sort of they have an elevator in there, but then they have sort of like, and I'm assuming many, many generations ago when they were building buildings, they sometimes would have subfloors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the company that I had worked for decided that they were going to occupy the subfloor, which meant that there was a set of stairs to go to that business. That was separate
mm-hmm.
from the other part. Therefore, I could no longer work there.
And did you take that up with the Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission? Because that's
no,
an opportunity there.
Because, you see, Kara, the problem with that, doing stuff like that, is there are so many times in a person with a physical disability's life where they encounter situations similar to what I've just described.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to do that, your whole life would be spent putting forth complaint after complaint to the Human Rights Commission. And just so you know, a complaint can take anywhere from 2 years, and I've heard some of them haven't been dealt with until the seventh year. So if you can imagine spending your entire life putting forth all these complaints, how much of your life have you really spent living and not just dealing with issues that you never caused in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
So people with a physical disability often are reluctant to put forth those complaints because of how long it takes to get any kind of decision, one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I understand that.
So I think what I'm looking for today by having the conversation with you
mm-hmm.
is to see if there's ways that the city is willing to work with people with disabilities to try to maybe expedite some of this and not have to go through a painstaking process of filing a complaint for every single building that for whatever reason is still non-accessible in this city to reach an accessible city.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you, Deb. And on the city's role, we are doing what we can within the legislation and the power we have through the Cities Act and through the building bylaw. And in some cases, we are limited by the legislation available to us. When it comes to private ownership or property, our opportunities to intervene and mandate those changes, we simply don't have the power to mandate those changes. And those responsibilities have been allocated in different provincial bodies and different regulatory bodies. That's why we work together to come up with different ways collectively to make improvements within the community.
What would the city need to help bring that about? Do you need the provincial government to create the legislation? Like, where would you start fixing to bring laws and legislation or whatever it takes mm-hmm. up to date so that this would be a more expedient process?
Right. And some options right now currently, the Canadian Commission on Building and Fire Codes, they're in the process right now of finalizing a paper to assist in setting the future direction of accessibility requirements in the building code. So recently they've undertaken a project and they were seeking public feedback on their paper and whatnot to identify areas that may be missing in the code and underrepresented. So they're looking to make some changes and they're looking for feedback from community and whatnot and residents as well. And so there's opportunities there for you to get involved and provide feedback to make those recommendations in there and be heard. We are working with the building standards, the provincial body of building standards, as well as the Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission. They've undertaken a recent project where they are trying a collaborative approach to address the inequity experienced by people with disabilities in the built environment. So they've got a number of items on the go right now. The Building Standards and Licensing Branch is working to produce a visual guide to create accessibility in the built environment. Nice education guide that we can use to demonstrate that with these changes, you can achieve so much more with your dollars when it comes to the accessibility and design. The Office of Disability Issues is emphasizing the importance of the built environment in the province's disability strategy. So that to me signals that we can maybe expect to see some changes at a provincial level there. And the Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission is consulting with stakeholders to capture a sense of the challenges and opportunities in the built environment in order to prepare a report that will inform a new systemic initiative that they have planned. So the stakeholders they're targeting at this time are the construction associations, the builders, architects, umbrella organizations that represent businesses and provide services, organizations that represent people with disabilities, along with the municipal and provincial authorities and representatives. So through this work, I'm really pleased with the amount of work that I've experienced in this last year on the accessibility. I've been with the city for 15 years, and you know, to be honest, this last year, we've had lots of great generation of discussion on accessibility, more so than in the past, which signals to me that we are going to see some changes coming forward in the future. The conversation's there. The conversation is starting with at the right levels. And mm-hmm. there is the awareness is increasing and the understanding that there's opportunity to do more.
So when can we see these changes?
These things do take some time. We will be working with those partners, and as we see that, then there's the engagement processes, and we'll wait and see where those results come from. Code changes can take a number of years to come through to see actual design and changes in the code. But they do come and they're positive.
Why was nothing done prior to this?
Why was nothing done exactly? Help me understand a bit more.
Well, other cities have done a tremendous amount of work over the last 20 years in their cities. Hmm. Why has that not spilled over here?
So the approach the City of Saskatoon has taken has been with the Accessibility Action Plan. So City Council endorsed the action plan, which was a large focus on controlling the environment we have direct control over, meaning our internal facilities, our driveway crossings, curb ramps, where we directly control the infrastructure. We wanted to make impactful changes in those areas. What I'm hearing from you is where you would like to see more changes in the private property ownership. And as a municipality, we don't have direct control over private property owners.
Who controls that?
Typically, it's the province, or their power is given to the owners to control. And there's a lot of owners out there that are building way far and above the code. Even when it comes to accessible design, we see a lot of buildings that don't need power door operators may not need to have the same level of accessibility integrated into them. And building owners are choosing to put in more accessible washrooms than they may need to. They're choosing to put in power door operators, things that just make the ease of everyone in the building easier.
So maybe
well.
We need to heighten the minimum code.
That is always on the table. It is to heighten the minimum code. We see that request when it comes to our energy guidelines and standards.
Right.
It is an option that's out there. The trick I find is that you need to build capacity and education and awareness so that you're ready to bring up that bottom of the code. And you're right, bringing up the bottom would help a portion.
Right.
The question is to what level? And that's where we look to some of the advice and help from the province and external stakeholders doing that work. We also have, there's different work going on at a federal level with the Federal Accessibility Act. So when that legislation becomes is known with the Federal Disability Act, it'll be interesting to see how that impacts provincial legislation, which all trickles down into the municipal role as well.
Sometimes, sometimes not. Okay. Just saying. Yeah, it doesn't always mean that. It doesn't always mean that, especially, you know, when you look at the fact that there are only three provinces that have their own Disability Act, and they did so prior to the federal government creating a national act. So, and this province isn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that, which is kind of unfortunate because they're the home of free Medicare. They're the inventors. And why that is the case is beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you bring up some really good points. And I just kind of fear and hope that this isn't a waste of time and nothing transpires out of it.
Mm-hmm. I see things changing all the time. The difference is the pace of it is not meeting your needs right now. I recognize that. So we do see changes. And we've even done some different assessments to try and gain an idea where the barrier-free accessible entrances in some of our core neighborhoods are at. And surprisingly, our core neighborhoods are more accessible than we thought. And, you know, and that's a result of our action plan. That's a result of some of the other initiatives to create new development within our city. And when we create new development, we create new buildings, which creates accessible buildings as well. So the landscape is changing, but I do recognize it's not changing at the pace that's going to meet the community's needs.
Mm. Well, I'd like to thank you for coming on to the program today. And maybe at some point we'll hear from you again.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Deb.
Thank you. You're welcome. Today's show was brought to you by CFCR 90.5 FM. Remember, you can use the app to listen again by downloading it onto your mobile device. I would like to thank Contrast Recording for recording the show today and Michael Patterson for composing the theme music. If you would like to be on the show, have a question about the show, or a suggestion for a topic, you can let me know by emailing me at peoplewithdisabilitiespeakout@yahoo.com. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week.
This has been a special presentation of People with Disabilities Speak Out, an original program from CFCR 90.5 FM in Saskatoon, made for Access Day 2019. For more information about Saskatoon Community Radio, for details on our programming, and to tune in, visit cfcr.ca.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Who we view as the most authoritative and electable is rooted in systems of oppression.
There's so many inequities around having our experts in our community speak about our work.
Obviously, there are several facets to this strangely homogenous nature of the electoral system.
And to be left out of conversations, it only exemplifies that loss of self-esteem.
Check out CITR's live panel podcast, Conversations, hosted by our Indigenous, Accessibility, and Gender Empowerment collectives. Subscribe to Conversations, available now on iTunes.